God bless you all. I'm glad to have you here today. We're all here for the same reason, and that's to worship the Lord and here to hear about the gospel of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the song that we sang is, I want to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And you know, that's so important as Christians. We know that, you know, the scripture says that it's by faith we're saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Spirit of the Lord draws us to Him. But once we receive Jesus, it's every single day of our lives that we walk after the Spirit of the Lord. Because it is only through the Spirit of the Lord that we can walk by the faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. So today my message is called A Yielded Vessel. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. Most of us have many cups in our kitchen. We have special glasses for company and cups for use if we go on a picnic or maybe out by the pool. We have different things in our kitchen to use for different purposes. 2 Timothy 2:20 tells us, in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold, but of silver, wood, and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. But in verse 21, it tells us, therefore purge yourselves of these, and you shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet, good for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. The scripture tells us that the carnal mind, or the fleshly mind, is the enemy of God. And that in order to, this verse here says, in order to be good for the master's use, we have to try to flee from that carnal nature and walk after the Spirit of the Lord to be good for the master's work. In verse 22, it says, run away, flee from youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the name of the Lord of a pure heart. We know that we're not saved by the things that we do. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. Once, while driving down the road in a suburban area, the traffic slowed down. When I got a little bit closer to the slowdown, I noticed that there was a man standing in the road, and he was waving his arms angrily to the driver behind him. His actions caused not only himself to be upset, the man he was yelling at to be upset, but it also caused a danger for himself and for others, and a slowdown for the traffic of the people that were coming behind him. We've all seen how actions can affect one another. Actions can affect both ourselves and others. It could be in a negative way or a positive way. When someone's angry or unkind, we often feel the need to give them that same reaction back. And the opposite's true. If someone's kind, kindness can be contagious. God's word tells us not to give evil back for evil, but to overcome evil with good. The title of my message today is A Yielded Vessel. The enemy of our soul wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill what God has for you and steal what God has promised for you and destroy your walk of life in Him. He wants to destroy you and your soul. But the Word says that God has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How are we as Christians yielding to our life of Christ? Are we waiting for eternal life, for the day that we die, the day that we'll go to heaven and live with Christ. Now that we've received Jesus as our Savior, how do we follow Him every day? How do we live in Christ? We know that Paul left his old life to follow Jesus, Peter, John, Matthew, and the list goes on. They all had a new life in Christ. The scripture says that when we receive Jesus, we receive a new life, that old things are passed away and all things become new. It says in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father in heaven." So then, what is God's will? John 6:29 says that this is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent. So to believe in Jesus is the will of God. Jesus is the image of God in the flesh. In John 3:16, it says that he loves us. God loves us. We know John 3:16, most of us, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we know that God loves us, that we are what he loves, and one of the things that he loves. What does God hate? Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says that "These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are even an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren." Now keep these things in the back of your mind, because we'll circle back around to them, and throughout the message, I'm going to talk about these things. The first thing God hates is pride. In this age, pride has a whole different idea that comes to our mind. But I want to look a little bit about what God says about pride and his word. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." According to the dictionary.com, prideful means thinking too highly of oneself, conceited, arrogant, or overconfident, full of pride, haughty, disdainful, exultant, elated, pridefully, as an adverb. We may hear of people being described as proud that refuse to forgive, or one without compassion, maybe stubborn. These are what we think of when we think maybe of pride sometimes. But pride is a wall, not a door. It's difficult to reach someone that's prideful. You might say, well, where am I going with this? Pride often keeps people from repentance, forgiveness of sin, and sometimes even keeps Christians in a place of stagnation, because maybe they believe that they've fully arrived and that they know all the scriptures, they know all the stories, and they are full and they don't need anything else that God has for them. I really believe that that's one of the reasons why God hates pride so much, because it causes a wall between us and the Lord. God has to offer us many things. Sometimes pride causes people to refuse to grow in the transforming power that God desires in the life of individuals and in the believer. In Psalms 103, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. The second thing God hates is a lying tongue. We've all known somebody that has lied. Maybe you even know someone that's a habitual liar that can't stop lying. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It also says that Satan is the father of lies. So we must remember who the father of lies is and what he's come to do. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy is what it tells us in John 10:10. It says the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you would have life and have it more abundantly, a better life. So let's go back to Genesis and see about the father of lies. We can see in Genesis that he tempted Eve with a lie. He enticed her to believe that what she had was not as good as what she didn't have. So, in the situation of the Garden of Eden, we know that what Adam and Eve had was amazing. They had everything they needed. They didn't have any need of anything. No clothes, no work. They had food. They even had conversations with the Lord because God walked with them in the evening and talked with them. They had everything that they needed. But Satan deceived Eve into thinking that she did not have what she could or should have. Whatever that he might try to tempt you with, he must first convince you that it's better than what you have now. That's the way the devil works. He doesn't always come noticeably, but sneakily. Sometimes he tempts you with something that seems amazing or alluring. Sometimes he comes disguised as a wolf in sheep's clothing. If Satan can get you to believe a lie, then he can use that lie as a stronghold to produce other attacks against you. He uses that stronghold and that point of reference. Sometimes a person may not even realize that what they feel or believe or what they have believed is based on a lie. Sometimes even Christians may feel like they're coming from a place of weakness instead of living in the kingdom authority that God has given them and intended them to walk in. The Bible says that he has given us authority in Christ and all things in Christ, but sometimes we don't always feel that way. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles and read along with me, I'm going to read in Deuteronomy 31 a little bit about Moses for a minute. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 21, Moses was addressing the children of Israel. They had come out of the land where they were slaves, and they had come out into a desert place. And Moses had led them all this way, and God was with him. And he came to this place, and he said, I am 120 years old today. And I can't go out and I can't come in. Also, the Lord said to me, you shall not go over the Jordan. In verse 3, it says, the Lord your God will go over before you, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and you shall possess them. And Joshua shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said, fear not, or don't be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, it is he that goes with you, and he will not fail you nor forsake you. Notice that they had been following Moses this whole time, but it wasn't Moses that was leading them. It was God that was leading them. And it was God that caused Joshua to go next. It was God that went before them and took the enemy. It was God that led them into the promised land. And it's God that's leading you. We know the story. Moses led the Israelites out of slavery into the wilderness by God's direction. Coming into salvation is by the leading of the Holy Spirit. The people were led into the wilderness before they saw the promised land. Although Moses would not be the one to lead them into the promised land, God made a way. And God makes a way for you every single day. The way was his own self. He brought Jesus, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is he that goes with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." In Deuteronomy 31:7, it says, "Moses called unto Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with these people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." You know, I find it very interesting, and I've heard before that Jesus is a certain pronunciation of Joshua. Now, it's very interesting to me, and, you know, I have not been a language scholar, and it has study a whole lot. I can only tell you that which I have heard. But Joshua led the people into the promised land. Jesus is the one that leads us into the promise that God has for us to inherit eternal life. The scripture says we have been given all things through Jesus pertaining to life and godliness. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Feelings and circumstances can sometimes leave us feeling drained or powerless. But God's word does not return void. God's promises are not limited to how we feel in the moment. I would encourage you today, if you're feeling this way, where you're feeling powerless or discouraged, ask God to reveal to you if there's an area of your life that you have believed a lie. The word says the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth, and his Holy Spirit shall lead you into all truth. The third thing that God hates are hands that shed innocent blood. It's safe to say that no one in here has probably killed anyone, but Scripture tells us not to hate in our hearts, but to love one another as Christ loves us. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Don't be hateful and insult people just because they're hateful and insult you. Instead, treat everyone with kindness. You're God's chosen ones, and he will bless you." Do you really love life? Do you want to be happy? Then stop saying cruel things and quit telling lies. Now, this is in the Contemporary English Version, 1 Peter 3:9 through 10. The fourth thing God hates is a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Before you try to imagine somebody that you know that may fit into this category, what might God be saying here? Maybe thinking of sinful things? Well, maybe. Carrying out plans to get even with someone or destroy someone? Maybe. But what about imaginations that are contrary to God's word? Imaginations that are contrary to the Spirit of God. We don't think about that very much. Maybe that could be one thing too. Several members of my family have been in the military. When fighting in battle, soldiers fight alongside one another, and they are on the same team. They learn to depend on each other, trust each other, and they're fighting for the same cause, and they have each other's back. However, if there were a soldier fighting next to his fellow soldier in the daytime, but sneaking over in the nighttime and maybe into the enemy's camp and hanging out with them, doing things with them, there may be some raised eyebrows in the morning when they come back to fight the next day. Sometimes we hear of Christians doing that same thing. Can we live victorious in Christ without surrendering to the Spirit of God? 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ, and having readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us, "It's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passion, lust, like the pagans who don't know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother and sister." Why? Because you have been purchased with a price. Jesus has paid the ultimate price for you and I, that we no longer belong to ourselves, but Christ, who has purchased us with a price. Scripture tells us that Satan roars about as a lion, looking for whom he may devour. Daniel, I'm sure most of you know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. In the Old Testament, he prayed 3 times a day. And he was thrown into the lion's den for praying because King Darius had set a decree that you should not worship anyone else or pray to anyone else but him. So he threw Daniel in the lion's den, and God shut the mouth of the lions, and they didn't harm Daniel. There may be lions around us. Maybe they're not lions like we see in the zoo. They may be lions that the enemy has sent to destroy you. They may be lions that you see or that you don't see, lions in your life. God still has the ability to shut the mouths of lions. The fifth thing that God hates is our feet that are swift into running into mischief. A false witness that tells lies about people that aren't true. And he hates people that plant discord among the brethren, the family of God. Gossip. The question is then, not where is God, but where are we? Where are we as a church? Where are we as a nation? Where are we as a people? In 2 Chronicles 7:4 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." God has not forgotten or abandoned us. He said, "Be strong and courageous, be faithful in little, and he will reward you with much." My prayer is that every day God helps us to submit to his Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the last days that he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. He's drawing each and every one of us. He wants us to come to him, to forgiveness and redemption in Christ. He said that it is his will that none perish, no, not one. My prayer is that we would submit to God and resist the devil every day in our lives and walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that each of us are blessed in Jesus. The word says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's pray. I'm going to ask my mother to come and lead us in dismissal.
We've been presented with a lot of things we need to consider. God wants us to live holy lives. He paid a great price for us to live in holiness. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, He's not given Him the place to be Lord of your life, you are powerless against Satan's devices. So I encourage you today, as I pray, that if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, that you will commit to do that even now. Heavenly Father, we come to you so thankful for your Holy Spirit that draws us. Thankful for the word today that tells us that you would not want any of us to perish, but you want us to live lives that are holy and acceptable unto you. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the penalty for our sins. None of us are perfect except by you, but we become made perfect in you, and we thank you for that. Today we recognize those who have not accepted Christ. We recognize that we're sinners. Only by Jesus can we be saved. And we accept that redemption right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. We thank you because you have written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. As we receive you, in Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor. Amen. I trust that you have made Jesus Lord of your life and that you will continue to serve Him and to worship Him. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a glorious week and walk with God. We have a little problem there because I can't reach that button and Bob can't see that button.
It's just a little tiny thing.
Yes. And if you don't hit it just right, you ever, sometimes I'm trying to text and my phone won't take my fingerprint. So it's kind of like that. But anyway, we will have to let you know about next week if we're going to meet. Judy's going to find out about this place where we can meet and gonna love one another. Celebrate getting a new pastor. You celebrate. And anyway, I know that the Lord has great things planned for this church. I know that He does, and we receive that. I'm so glad for some of you that I have.